It is so good to be here. I bring you great greetings from Katy Baptist. This is a beloved congregation, believe me, to a lot of congregations. But I can tell you this, Katy Baptist loves you and prays for you. Pray the Lord bless you as He has. It is so good to be with you. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. I asked Gabe to read that passage out of Ezekiel, and Lord willing, we'll see why in just a moment. But we've been going through the book of Genesis at home, and I came to this passage of Scripture about a week or so ago, and I preached out of this passage there, and really I told Gabe yesterday or day before that I would I'd be preaching. I think I said, Gabe, did I say Joshua? I told him something. And over the last 2 days, I've just been convinced I need to go back to Genesis. And I do pray that the Lord bless this passage of Scripture. I'm going to preach tonight, Lord willing, out of verse 45. Genesis 41, 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now, just to get all of us back to where we are, right here. Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Isaac. And he was a favorite son. His daddy loved him the most. And just stop right here. Just think of this man Joseph as a picture of our Lord. He was the most beloved of the 12 sons, and he had a commission from his daddy. Daddy told him to go out in the field where his brethren were and check on them, make sure that they were doing okay. And his brothers saw him coming. And they hated him. They hated him because he was the most beloved son. His daddy had made him a coat of many colors. And they saw him coming, and they took him. And they wanted, at first, they were going to kill him. But one of his brothers stood and said, "No, let's don't kill him. Let's just put him in a pit. Let's put him in a pit and we'll not kill him here." Well, some Midianites were coming past, and they sold him. They sold him to these Midianites, and Midianites got him and brought him to Egypt. And when he was in Egypt, a man named Potiphar bought him as a slave. And one day, after many days of Potiphar's wife, who wanted to really seduce him, she kept trying to tell him. She said, "Look, you lie with me. And he just pushed her away. One day she caught hold of his garment. And she said, "Lie with me." And he said, "How can I do this? How can I do this against God? How can I do this against my master, Potiphar, that bought me? How can I do it against myself? But how can I do such a thing against God?" And it just infuriated Potiphar's wife. So when Potiphar came back, she lied. She lied on Joseph and told the story in a way that made it look like Joseph was the one that was stirring all this up. Well, Potiphar had him thrown in prison, had him put in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. And he was in prison now, and while he was in prison, Pharaoh had two men, a butler and a baker, that had angered Pharaoh, and he had them thrown in the jail. And they were in jail with Joseph. And they had a dream. And in their dream, Joseph, he was the one that the Lord used to interpret this dream. One of the men was going to be delivered and out of the bondage, and the other man was going to be killed by the king. And it came to pass like that. Well, the butler that was delivered back to Pharaoh and back to good standing with Pharaoh, he was supposed to tell Pharaoh as soon as he got out. Joseph asked him, he said, when you get to Pharaoh, would you mention my name? He said, sure, I'll do that. I'll be glad to do that. He got out of prison. He didn't more think of Joseph than man the moon. 2 years went by. Joseph is still in prison after 2 years. And Pharaoh had a dream. And this dream was concerning 7 years. It was going to happen in Egypt of plenty. They were going to have plenty, 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 abundance of food for 7 years. But then there was going to be 7 years of famine. And it was in this dream of which Pharaoh, he saw some healthy cows, and then he saw some cows that were real lean, and then he saw stalk of corn that was real healthy, and then this other stalk that was just real frail looking. He just couldn't understand it. Well, he said, I'll go get some of my magicians and guys that can tell me what's going on here. And so they couldn't figure it out. They didn't know anything. They didn't know anything about this dream. And now, all of a sudden, the butler, he remembered. He said, I remember a man that I was in jail with 2 years now, has gone by providentially. He stayed there for 2 years. And this butler said, I know a man that interpreted a dream for me and for the baker. And he said, there's a man, and he knows the interpretation of dreams. Well, Pharaoh told him, said, go get him. And they got him out. And in a period of one day, now all this took place, now not what I told you, but from the time that Joseph got out of jail, one day, he's delivered out of prison. He stands before Pharaoh. He hears the dream of Pharaoh. He tells Pharaoh the interpretation of it. And Pharaoh says, this is an amazing thing. Can there be one that it can oversee this 7 years of plenty? Is there one that could do that? Because Joseph told him, he said, search out somebody that can oversee the plenty that's going to happen. Because there's going to be a lot of food here for 7 years. But then it's going to be 7 years. It's not going to be. And it's going to be a famine. And Pharaoh says, can it be that we search you out? And here's the man standing there, Joseph. And Pharaoh tells him. He said, you're the man. I'm going to elevate you. He puts Joseph second in command. Only to himself. He said, I'm going to put you over all of my house, over all of my land. Everything is going to be in your hands. And nobody will be able to do anything unless they come to you. Oh, buddy, what? You talk about a plethora of gospel in that right there. But we don't have that long for tonight. But I'd like to come to this point right here. Here, now Joseph has been elevated. He's a man, a criminal, in jail for a crime he didn't commit. He was despised without a cause. And now he's delivered. Here he is now. Pharaoh comes and he look in verse 42. Well, 41. Pharaoh said unto him, after he has that dream delivered, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I'm Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now here we are. Here's Joseph. Now he got him out, and now he's in Egypt. He's sitting as a ruler. And here's Joseph as a type of our precious Lord and Savior, exalted to be the ruler over all the house of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's a picture of the Father. And here's our Lord, the submissive servant of Jehovah, exalted to be a ruler over all flesh, as the Lord Jesus Christ has been given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. Now, I want us just to look at that one passage of Scripture, that verse 45 right there. The Scripture declares that Pharaoh has not only given Joseph a new position, but now he's bestowed upon Joseph something that would declare a new position in such a way that his name is going to set it forth. He calls his name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Now, that name interpreted, and Pharaoh's in Egypt. And that name right there in Egypt, here's what it means. Savior or salvation of the world. Now, if you think that's not a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior, the Savior of the world. Turn with me to 1 John 4, verse 14. 1 John 4, 14. 1 John 4, verse 14. Here's what the Spirit of God moved John to write. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now that's what Zaphnath-Paaneah means. Savior of the world. Savior of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, you know, that's a precious passage of Scripture, but oh, how abused it is. Do you know what the world in John 3:16 means? God so loved the world. I'd encourage you to look this up. You know what it means? The human race. The human race. Almighty God has chosen a people. Before the foundation of the world, he's got an elect. He's chosen them out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. He's chosen some. He's been pleased to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. He's chosen an elect. Why did he do that? Because he loved the order of man, the human race. And if the human race was left to itself, Almighty God, who is just, would have cast the whole human race out. Almighty God has not set his love and affection on everybody. Scripture never says that. I know how that scripture is abused. They say God so loved the world. That means that God loves everybody. That's not what it says. He loves the human race. And he's got an elect. So therefore, he is the Savior of the world. He's Savior of the human race. I looked that word up. In 1 John 4:14, to make sure it was the same word. And it's the same word. Look at that. God loved the human race. And because he loved the human race, he's got a chosen people that he's going to save out of. And so here's Joseph. And God had moved this Pharaoh to give him a new name. And he's going to save a people. He's going to save some people. And so Joseph, he's got this new name. But let me ask you this. Is Joseph not also a picture here of our Lord? The Father gave him a name. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. I'll just read this for you. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, you know what Jesus means? Jehovah is salvation. Jesus, Savior. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, the Father. So Pharaoh gave him a new name. What does his name mean? It means Savior of the world. The Father's given the Son a name. The name above every name. What's the name? Above every name. The name is Jesus. Jehovah's salvation. But not only did Pharaoh exalt Joseph to a new position and gave him a new name, he also, the scripture says, he gave him a wife. Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath Paaneah and gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah. Now, this wife. Now, I want us to consider this, the beauty of this whole scenario as it's unfolded out of this one passage of Scripture. Joseph had a wife given to him by who? Pharaoh. Pharaoh, the Scripture says, and he gave him, Pharaoh gave Joseph a name, and he gave him a wife. Who gave the Lord Jesus Christ his wife? He has chosen him. He chosen us in him. Who chose us? The Father. Ephesians 1:4 says the Father chose us. He gave us unto him. So the Father has given us unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given this bride, Scripture says in Hosea 2:19-20, that he betrothed unto himself. He's one with the Father. And the Father's will is the Son's will. The Father gave him a bride, and the Son accepted the bride. Why? Because that was his will. That was his will too. I and my Father are one, betrothed unto himself forever. Yea, betrothed unto himself in righteousness and in judgment and loving kindness and mercies. Scripture says a wife that was betrothed unto him in faithfulness. A wife that would know the Lord, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. A wife that would know the Father of electing grace. The Father that chose. The Father that would know the Son in redeeming mercy and grace. And know the Spirit in regenerating grace. This beautiful bride was given unto him. Pharaoh gave Joseph a wife. A wife given unto the Lord Jesus Christ that would submit herself unto him, made willing in the day of God's power. And he who is the glorious husband. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. This wife that he would wash and sanctify the water of the word. This bride that was eternally precious to him. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I'll read that sometime. William, I think. You know, before there was anything else. When there was God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. What did he do? He created the heavens and the earth. But the Scripture says before there was anything else. Go back and read Proverbs 8. I invite you to read Proverbs 8 for the sake of time. I won't, but you read how wisdom himself, Christ is speaking. He said, I was before him. Before there were mountains, before he said, I was ever before him. It's my life with the sons of men, those sons of men that had been given him in electing grace. He said, I've always loved you. I've always loved you. And I just try to think on that, and I try to get my head around that, and I think, I just can't go. I can't think in eternity. You know, everything's time to me. I try to relate. You do too. We can't. How do you understand eternity? You don't understand that. But before the foundation of the world, before there was anything but God, we were loved. God's people, God's elect, were loved. And so here's this wife, and her name is Asenath. Asenath. Excuse me. I got to thinking about wives in the scriptures. The believers' wives. Believers' wives. And as I began to think on it, I began to think on Abraham's wife. Remember her? Remember who she was? Sarah. And Sarah's wife. And she possessed a name that, listen, this is what Sarah means. Noble woman. Noble woman. You know who the bride is married to? The king. The king of kings. That's who we're married to. We're married to the king of it, the Lord of lords. And here's Sarah. Her name is Noble Woman. And we're married to the king. Our nobility is totally from him. We are what we are by the grace of God. But that was her name. And then Isaac's wife was Rebekah. Isaac had a wife. Remember when Abraham sent his servant to go get a son for Isaac? And he said, now don't go to the land of Canaan. Don't go get a Canaanitish woman. You go back to my people. And he went back and he found Rebekah, and he saw this woman, and she fell in love with the servant's the son, who was, he'd gone to get a son for Isaac. She never saw him. She never saw him. Fell in love with him by what she heard. This servant told the Rebekah about his master Abraham, and he had a son, Isaac. And she fell in love with Isaac totally on what she heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. We've never seen him either. You know what we know about him, Eddie? What we've heard. And we love him. And we love him based on what we've heard. She went back with that servant and she saw him. Saw Isaac out there in the field. Who is that? That's my master's son. That's who you're coming back to see. And then, her wife, let me tell you what her wife, Rebekah, her wife name means, her name means ensnared with beauty. That's what Rebekah means. Ensnared with beauty. I looked up Song of Solomon 4:9 when the Lord was speaking to the bride, and here's what he told her. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. He said, you've stolen my heart. I think that's the sweetest thing. I think for a man to speak to his wife with such respect. I like that. I like respect. I like to see a man open his the door for his wife. I like to see him treated with kindness and hold her hand. There's nothing sweeter to me to see an old couple like me and Glenda. I'm telling you, just holding hands, I think that's sweet. You know, ravished my heart, ensnared with beauty. Jacob had a wife. Here was the love of his life. Her name was Rachel. Rachel means you, E-W-E, you are sheep, sheep. And let me ask you this, are we not the sheep of God's pasture? The sheep given by the Father unto the Son in electing grace? Is he not the great shepherd of the sheep? You know, you see, the names of these brides, they're just so beautiful, so lovely. But there was something about Joseph's bride that was truly amazing to me. Her name, Asenath, and she was the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. And here's what her name means. Here's what Asenath means. Belonging to the goddess Neith. N-E-I-T-H. Neith. Belonging to the goddess Neith. Her daddy, Potipharah, he had a name, and here's what his name meant. Gift of the sun god. Asenath and her daddy were idol worshipers. Idol worshipers. And from that description of her dad, the scripture said he was a man that was a priest or a prince in the worship of the sun god. And as I began to think on all these beautiful names that, you know, Sarah and Rachel and Rebecca, and you could ask, how could an Egyptian woman, an idol worshiper, such as this woman, be given as a wife, a bride to Joseph? Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we behold one like that? Oh, now here's the beauty of amazing grace. Almighty God would take creatures like we are. Spirit of God moved a prophet named Ezekiel to write that passage of Scripture that I asked Gabe to read. And began to set forth how this infant was born. Here's a picture. Here's a picture of the bride of Christ as we're born in Adam. And back in Ezekiel, you can hold your place there in Genesis, and just turn back to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, verses 1 and 2. This is what the Lord instructed Ezekiel to write. He said in verses 1 and 2, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, to know her abominations." Now, this is the first thing that he told Ezekiel. He said, "You tell Jerusalem, I want you to tell her where she came from." We see the truth of what God Almighty has to say concerning the good, which is none, by birth of the bride in Adam, and how repulsive, being born in Adam, we were. We are by birth. Tell her how disgusting she is, not only in birth, but in action. You tell her. You cause her to know her abominations. You tell her where she came from. Tell her about her foul sins and her multiplied transgressions. You tell her about her lewdness. You tell her about her being an idol worshiper. You tell her how she loves spiritual adultery. You tell her. Verse 3. "And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite. Thy mother was a Hittite." Here Ezekiel is instructed to relate to the heavenly city, the bride of Christ, Jerusalem, a picture of God's covenant people. "You tell her where she came from, that she might have no ground to exalt herself above any people. You tell her, although a self-righteous religionist back in the days of our Lord would come to our Lord and they tell him, say, we're Abraham's, we're sons of Abraham. That's who we're from. We're sons of Abraham." Turn to Joshua. Turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verses 1 and 2. Joshua 24, 1 and 2. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. We're Abraham's. We're Abraham's sons. We're sons of Abraham. Joshua said they were idol worshipers. Almighty God was pleased to call them to Himself, call them out of the dregs of their sin and rebellion against Him. And you tell them where they came from. Ezekiel 16, 4 and 5 says, and as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. What weakness. What helplessness. By nature is our lot from birth. Totally ruined in the fall. Nobody pitied us. Nobody pitied our condition. Why? Because we were all in the same common condition. We were all like that. And left in that state, we would have had everlasting damnation. We were born hopeless. Look at verse 6. And when I passed by, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood. Now listen, you talk about power. Here, his word is not going to return unto him, boy. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. When I passed by thee, oh, thank God that the Lord in His infinite mercy passed by this wretched sinner right here. Thank God that He didn't leave me to me. Because I'm telling you, I'm just like you. I guarantee you, I'm just like you were. You know, you say, well, you don't know where I came from. You don't know the half of it with me. When I passed by thee, thank God that it was not left to my merit. Salvation by grace. There was nothing in a sinner but sin. That's all. Almighty God would pass by and see us in our filthiness and pollution, that fallen nature and our own blood, and say unto us, because it pleased Him. It pleased Him. What other reason does the Scripture set forth that God would show mercy? He did it according to the purpose of His own will. There was no difference in any of us. And if Almighty God was pleased to pass by and say unto me, or to you, live. Let me tell you what happened. You lived. You lived. He imparted life. I'm going to remove that heart of stone. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to write my name on your heart. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And we lived. When we didn't know Him. I wasn't looking for Him. I can tell you that. I was not looking for God. No man seeks after God. When our eyes, our blind eyes, we didn't see Him. We was blind. Dead, trespasses and sins. Our dead ears when we couldn't hear. And when He said live, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? What Ezekiel said? Wise words. Lord, Thou knowest. He said, you prophesy to them. And you say unto them, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he said, and I will cause. You preach to them. I'll cause. Walk by. Oh, I'm telling you, Saul of Tarsus had letters of authority in his hands. Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? He was a Pharisee. Who art thou? I'm Jesus that you're persecuting. Hard to kick against the pricks. You know what that means? Not safe. It's not safe. Not safe. He stopped him. The scripture says that Joseph, beautiful name given Joseph. That Pharaoh didn't have a clue what was he was really saying. He was just, but the Spirit of God moved him. He said, you call this boy right here, you call Joseph, you call him Zaphnath Hananiah, Savior of the world, salvation of the world. That's what you call him. He goes forth. He said, I want people to cry, bow the knee, bow the knee. Every knee going to bow, every tongue going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God. He gave him a new position. Ruler, you rule over everything. You rule over everything. This is your name. And I'm going to give you a wife. I'm going to give you a wife, Asenath, belonging to the goddess Neith. Oh, I'm telling you. But he took this lump of dead clay that was an idol worshiper. And the scripture says in Ezekiel, I'm going to just read what Gabe just read. Verse 7, I caused thee to multiply as the bud in the field. And thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. Thine hair is grown whereas thou wast naked and bare. When I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. That oil of the Spirit of God, he gave him his spirit. Washed him with the water of the Word, blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin and robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I put bracelets. I decked thee, verse 11, decked thee also with ornaments and put bracelets upon thy hands, chained about thy neck. Put a jewel in thine forehead and earrings in thine ears, beautiful crown upon thy head. This is the queen. This is the queen. This is his queen. This is his wife. The wife of the king, thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment fine linen, silk, the righteousness of the saints, embroidered cloth. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast excellent and exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom of the Lord, fitly put together. It's his church, it's his bride. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty and perfect through my comeliness. You know who said? Not her, saith the Lord. Which I'd put upon thee, saith the Lord God. You know, Scripture sets forth that wife in herself, she was a heathen. A worshiper, a goddess of the sun god, Neith, who that was. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the Lord taking worshipers of idols like me and you. And by the grace of God, we can truly proclaim, I am what I am by His grace. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.